Welcome back to Radio Boston. It was a busy weekend in the world of sports, and really, in Boston, when isn't it? So let's check the score with WBUR's Chris Sitterick. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to start with football. All right, let's start with the Pats. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, 17-10. But I was kind of blown away by Tom Brady's tone in the postgame. Here is how he sounded after the game last night when asked how he described the offense's performance this year.
Up and down. What it looks like to me, so yeah, we'd probably do everything better.
Okay, I mean, that was the opening.
Yeah, I mean, we're in first place. Yeah,
9-1. What gives, Chris? Why is he acting like this?
You're not the only one who noticed that. I was flipping through different coverage of yesterday's game, and here are a couple of headlines from the Boston Globe. Against Eagles, fuming Tom Brady loses patience with offensive smoke and mirrors. There was also, Tom Brady is frustrated with the Patriots' offense but won't take any blame himself. This is something that a lot of people have started to notice. He doesn't look like he's having any fun. And this is a guy who, for pretty much his entire career here, has been revered and admired as the leader, the quintessential guy you want bringing your team into competition. To be fair, the offense has struggled, and he himself has struggled a little bit. I think most of the blame can be put on the offensive line. They haven't really protected well for him, and they haven't gotten the running game going. So if you're playing the Patriots, they've become pretty predictable. You know Brady's basically going to drop back and throw. And to that point, there was one play yesterday where they got a little bit unpredictable.
You'll see something. They always have something unique on something like this.
Over to Edelman. He's loading up to throw it. He's going to the end zone, and it's a touchdown. Edelman with the touchdown pass.
Somebody dropped back and threw.
Yeah, I love Tony Romo, by the way, saying, no, they probably have something unique to go to in this situation.
Called
it was
it.
3rd and 11, I think, in the red zone. So that was a huge play. It was the only offensive touchdown they scored in the game. What I thought was really interesting are the way that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick reacted after the game to that play. Let's take a listen to Tom Brady first.
Hey, he made a great throw. That was a great play. Yeah, we needed it.
All right, so you hear his tone there.
Right.
Compare that to the normally gruff mumble monster that is Bill Belichick.
I made a good decision. You know, keeps his quarterback rating up there pretty high. So I'm sure we'll have to ice his shoulder down this week and massage it and everything else. But that was a great play by Julian.
Okay, cracking me up because totally still a mumble monster.
Yeah, no, even when he's smiling, right?
But I understand that you're trying to get at what he was saying.
He's joking around. He never jokes around.
And listeners, that is what Bill Belichick sounds like when he's joking around.
I know, we're always told right off the field he's got a great sense of humor.
Right.
So I think it's really interesting, though, that he would sound so upbeat and Brady would sound so just upset about the current state of the offense. There are serious questions about whether or not this offense can perform at a championship caliber level. And I think ultimately we're starting to see more and more signs that this could be that last year for Brady here.
Okay, but from a leadership perspective, I got to tell you, it's a little bit troubling, especially with a team that is 9-1, and it seems like they could contend for another title. So one, am I right about that? And two, is it troubling to have ostensibly the team's leader acting like they're blowing it in this context?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer to hear your quarterback come out and not be excited that they're 9-1 at the top of the conference. They're headed, assuming they can handle business, heading for home field advantage throughout the playoffs and possibly another Super Bowl appearance. To hear him take that kind of defeated tone is pretty upsetting. I do think there are some teams that could give them a run. Baltimore obviously beat them a couple of weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Yes, they had a bye week last week, so they didn't play. Baltimore put up 37 points against this defense, which is playing phenomenally well at a historic level, really. They are getting some guys back from injury on offense, which could help them kind of turn things around. N'Keal Harry, their rookie wide receiver, played his first game yesterday. Played pretty well for a debut. Brady has shown a bit of a hesitance to throw to the younger guys, so we'll see if they can work him and maybe Jacoby Myers into the offense a little more.
I mean, sooner or later he's going to have to throw to the people who are supposed to catch the ball.
Yeah, you got to throw to somebody, right? It can't just be Edelman all the time. And they're also getting their left tackle Isaiah Wynn back probably before the Dallas game next weekend. That could be a huge acquisition because your left tackle, if you think about it, a quarterback drops back, he pivots, his back is facing the left side of the line, so that's his blind side. So you have to have a guy protecting your blind side so that you can rely on the pocket being there so you can make your reads and throw the ball.
And isn't that true in life?
You've got to rely on your left tackle, right?
All right, so let's talk about a couple of other things in football. I think a lot of both football and non-football fans alike heard about Colin Kaepernick, the workout this weekend, whatever that was. Can you give us a sense of what happened?
It was a real circus, which I think is probably, unfortunately, pretty fitting for this whole situation. So to take a step back, on Tuesday last week, the league calls Kaepernick's people and says, we will do this league-wide workout on Saturday afternoon. You have 2 hours to decide whether or not you want to participate.
And Kaepernick, of course, hasn't been playing for, what, 3 years?
3 years, yeah, exactly. And this is not at all how things usually work. Usually if a team has a need, they'll bring a guy in privately to do a workout just with that team if they're thinking about signing him. So for the league to take the leadership role here and say, we're going to bring you in, we're going to bring in some staff from other teams around the league, was kind of weird. And Kaepernick's agent said, it seemed fishy from the beginning, basically. Saturday is also a really weird day to do it because most teams are traveling. So a lot of the upper staff is going to be on the road or in their stadiums getting ready for their games on
Tuesday's
Sunday.
Tuesday's the normal day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's all weird. Basically, on Saturday morning, the teams were the two sides were still going back and forth about the terms of the workout. On Thursday, actually, I thought it was interesting. Yahoo Sports published a piece saying the NFL is giving all these reasons for Kaepernick not to show up for this workout. So kind of reading the tea leaves a little bit. Anyway, 2:30 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, about a half hour, 45 minutes before he was supposed to start, Kaepernick's people say, we're not going to do this workout that you've set up for us. We're going to do a workout down the road about an hour south of Atlanta at a high school field. And so some members of the media assembled there, some NFL personnel, but not as many as had flown to Atlanta for the workout.
So many just
up.
Stayed put in Atlanta and didn't go with him.
Right, exactly. Or went home, basically. Hugh Jackson, who was going to run the drills for him, just got on a plane and went home. It is really interesting. And he went through the workout. He did some drills. He did some throwing. For a lot of talk has been about the waiver that the NFL wanted him to sign.
Can you explain that?
Well, it's a 5 or 6 page legal document, and basically Kaepernick's camp was concerned that it went above and beyond what normally a player who's trying out would have to fill out. The NFL says it's pretty standard based on their standard free agent type agreement. So there's some legalese there, but I think the really interesting component, and it's not getting talked about as much as the waiver, is the video. Kaepernick wanted to be able to film the workout himself. He wanted to have his own people filming the workout. The NFL said no. Kaepernick's camp then said, okay, well, can we get the footage from you after the workout? The NFL would not agree to that. And so as Kaepernick said to reporters after his 40-minute workout, he basically was all about trying to make sure that people got to see him going through the drills. He wanted to ensure that there was transparency. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people.
So I really think both sides didn't really come into this with a good faith effort.
All right. So, and that was really the last question I wanted to ask you about that, because I've read and heard different reports on this, but it sounds like both sides went there with neither side actually really prepared for it to go down the way it was, quote unquote, supposed to go down.
Yeah, I mean, there was no real supposed to go down because this is in uncharted territory. But the bottom line is, I think you saw Kaepernick can still throw a ball. Anybody who's been watching games across the league knows there are teams out there that need quarterbacks. There's no reason physically why he couldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think it's all about the media attention that would come to a team that decides to bring him in and sign him.
Okay, one more big thing in football we have to talk about, which is a helmet smash into another player's head. And from there, I'm going to turn it over to you to explain.
Yeah, so that was from the Thursday night game last week, the Browns and the Steelers. Miles Garrett, there's a bit of a tussle at the end of the game. There's 8 seconds left in the game. It's a 2-score game. So the game's already over. And that I think is really part of the big shame here, is that none of this mattered in the grand scheme of things. But Miles Garrett, a player for the Browns, basically yanks off Mason Rudolph's helmet. He's the Steelers quarterback. And while he's being restrained by a couple of Steelers, swings overhand and smashes Rudolph over the head with his own helmet.
Chris, it was not a bit of a tussle. There was kicking and punching and piling.
No, it was a melee.
It was a brawl.
Yeah, it was a brawl. It was pretty ugly. And I think everyone involved is looking at that incident and saying that can't happen. Garrett has been suspended indefinitely, at least through the regular season and the playoffs this year, and then he'll have to meet with the commissioner's office to talk about possible reinstatement. I should note he and the other two players who were suspended are appealing that. The NFL could rule as soon as tomorrow on those appeals, definitely by Wednesday, they say. But I think that to put all the blame on Myles Garrett actually is unfair in this situation. Football is such a violent game, and you can see as as Garrett and Rudolph are going to the ground, Rudolph is the first one trying to rip off Garrett's helmet. So everybody who was involved in all of this extracurricular violence, I think, has a share of the blame here, and it seems like it's all being pointed at Garrett.
I'm sure that people are going to debate this for at least a couple more weeks.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's something that I want to point out. Marquise Pouncey, the Steelers player who was suspended for 3 games for throwing some punches.
And he kicked.
Yeah, said that he blacked out in that moment. And I think that really gets to what we saw unfold. These guys are smashing into each other at full speed for 3 hours. And of course, there is going to be high levels of emotion in that moment. And I think basically we just saw that spill over.
All right. Well, listen, in our last minute, I do want to give you a minute to talk about the Celtics. You've been wanting to
for a
while. I've been
chomping at the bit.
So talk Celts.
Well, I am so excited. I have not been this excited for a Celtics season in a long time. We talked last year about the chemistry not quite being there.
Yes, we did.
While Kyrie Irving, one of the most talented players in the league, has left and Kemba Walker has come in, taken over as point guard for the Seas. Not quite as talented a player, not quite as physically gifted, but the chemistry that this team is playing with in terms of helping each other out on defense. They've got that Marcus Smart, hard-nosed attitude. I love this team. Get on board the Celtics bandwagon before it's too late.
All right, and next time you're on, let's talk more Celtics.
I would love that.
All right, that's WBUR's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, stay with us. Coming up, state lawmakers are considering a ban on flavored vaping and tobacco products. Is that the right move? We'll talk about it. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.